Hi everybody, thanks for joining us for this episode of the GovCon video blog. So we're going to continue talking about export controls. And for anyone keeping track, this is episode 6 in our series covering export control rules under the International Traffic in Arms Regulations, or ITAR, and the Export Administration Regulations, or EAR. And today we're going to begin the second half of this series that covers the rules under EAR. So in episode 1 of this series, which gives an overview of both ITAR and EAR, we said that those regulations restrict the export of controlled items without prior approval or license. And as we did with the rules under ITAR, we're going to frame our discussion of EAR around four parts of this statement: restrictions, exports, controlled items, and licensing requirements. So we're going to start with controlled items. And again, as with our discussion under ITAR, when we talk about controlled items, what we're referring to are those things that EAR places restrictions on the export of. Today, we're going to go over three things that contractors should know about controlled items under EAR. So the first thing the contractor should know is that nearly everything that is located in the U.S. or made in the U.S. is covered under EAR. So if you recall our discussion of ITAR, all the regulations under ITAR, the licensing requirements and the restrictions, all of these are centered around defense articles and defense services. And since a defense service other than military training is defined as providing assistance or technical data related to a defense article, and since a defense article is defined as an item on the U.S. munitions list, well, in the end, everything points to the U.S. munitions list. So a company can look to the U.S. munitions list to determine if a product or service it provides is covered under ITAR. Well, when we step over to the EAR side of things, the scope of what is covered under EAR is much, much broader. And this is because, in a general sense, ITAR is intended to cover military hardware and software and related technical data, while EAR is intended to cover items and services that are dual purpose. In other words, things that can be used both for military and civilian purposes. And you can understand why the government would want to control items that are made in the U.S. that can be repurposed by a foreign person or perhaps by a foreign adversary into military hardware. So getting back to our main point, what do we mean when we say EAR coverage is broader? Well, the regulations say that with the exception of three groups of items, EAR covers all items in the US, all items of US origin, and all foreign-made commodities that incorporate US origin commodities or foreign-made items that are bundled with or commingled with U.S. origin items. So again, almost every item in the U.S. or made in the U.S. is covered by EAR. The second thing the contractor should know is that EAR does not cover three groups of items. So we said that EAR covers almost every item located in the U.S. or made in the U.S. And we say almost because there are three groups of items that are accepted from the general coverage rules. First, items that are already controlled for export and re-export. And these items include things that are controlled by the Department of State's regulations under ITAR, items that are controlled by regulations issued by the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control, items that are covered by regulations issued by the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and these generally relate to nuclear reactor-related items, items that are covered by the Department of Energy's regulations, and those generally cover nuclear materials, and items that are covered by regulations that are issued by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Now, this first group also includes items that are sold or loaned by the Department of Defense and the Department of State Foreign Military Sales. The second group of items not covered by EAR include publications like books, newspapers, pamphlets, as well as microfilm and phonograph recordings that record or reproduce these items. The third group of excluded items is really a kind of assortment, and it includes information and software that is either published or constitutes fundamental research, or that is comprised of course materials from an academic institution, or that appears in patents or patent applications, or that is non-proprietary system descriptions, or that constitutes certain kind of telemetry data. So the third thing the contractor should know is that not all items that are covered under EAR require pre-approval or licenses before they can be exported. So as we talked about earlier, nearly everything that's made in the U.S. or located in the U.S. is covered by EAR. But clearly it would be impractical to require everyone to get a license to ship or just to take anything out of the country. I mean, you can just imagine the mayhem at international airports if it were required. So unlike ITAR, where you generally need a license or pre-approval to export a covered item or service, when you think of the broad range of things that are covered under EAR, relatively few of them actually require a license or pre-approval. So what items do require a license or pre-approval? Well, we'll talk more about that in our vlog on licensing requirements under EAR. But for now, we'll just say that to determine if a license is required before exporting an item or service, contractors will need to look at what is called the Commerce Control List. And that list identifies the items that require licenses or pre-approval, and for those items, which are the export destination countries for which the licenses are required, and also why the license or pre-approval requirement is being imposed. For example, for some items, exports to certain countries require pre-approval in order to prevent nuclear proliferation, proliferation of missile technology, or in order to combat terrorism. So to sum up, the three things that contractors should know about controlled items under EAR are: 1, nearly everything located in the U.S. or made in the U.S. is covered under EAR. 2, EAR does not cover three groups of items. And 3, not all covered items require pre-approval or licenses before they can be exported. Well, that wraps up our vlog. We hope you come back for our next installment in the Export Control series, and thanks for joining us in this episode of the GovCon video blog.